Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I hope everybody is having a wonderful Tuesday evening. We are back. The TAT pod is back. We had one last week with Pepe Sierra talking about Luis Diaz, Colombia, and a couple things Liverpool-based. But obviously, Pepe is not a Liverpool fan, so it's kind of, we don't always talk about Liverpool when he's on. But we are here. We're back with a big Liverpool fan, myself and Shigs. My brother, I've missed you so much, man. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm good. Yeah, I've missed you as well. It's a bit of like a therapeutic session talking about Liverpool. So yeah, glad to be back, man. Glad to have the listeners on. Yeah, let's get into it, man.
100%, mate. Look, I think me and you were in the same camp when this World Cup break came along. We didn't really want it. We thought like we were kind of building something and we're getting into our stride a little bit. Then all of a sudden we've got this break. But we're just talking before we started, mate. And we are going to talk about the World Cup, first of all. And chat, get involved in the comments as well. If you're in here, there's six of you in here right now. So first of all, smash a like button. That would be appreciated. And have your input as well, because we want to talk to you about these topics. We're going to discuss the World Cup, transfer talk, Jude Bellingham, is he coming? All of that good stuff. So make sure you stick around. We're starting with the World Cup, mate. Mad year, isn't it? Christmas and World Cup. Like, when have we ever seen anything like it? But how much of it have you watched, mate? Have you been enjoying it?
It's been... I enjoyed it because the games in the afternoon. I've enjoyed it. The games in the afternoon, I weren't really able to see because I was at work. So it was just literally difficult to... it was difficult to watch them all. But it was just nice, you know, the first week where you got four games on. Like, there was times, like, I didn't realize they started games at like 10:30 in the morning. Yeah. So I was like, because just picking out one game, the Saudi Arabia Argentina game, I didn't even know they were playing. So I'm at work and my phone is going crazy. Like,
you know what? Like, this app, yeah, this isn't a sponsorship, but Flash Score. The best, like, we can say this now, but Flash Score is the best, like, for updates, like, in terms of notifications. You put your notifications on, you get that within 2 seconds. So that, I've had it on my watch, and that's been absolutely life-saving for me.
Yeah, nah, it was, and then from there, when I see, so, because I think Saudi Arabia, Argentina, that was the first of the big upsets. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, all right, so okay, people have come to play. I know Saudi Arabia got eliminated, but it's just that's a big game. And what'd you call it? So then I started paying a little bit more attention. The England games, the first England game that they played was good. Who was it against? I think it was Iran. They played well. 6-2. Yeah. Can't argue with that kind of scoreline. And then
for England or just in general?
Just in general. There was a couple other games.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm like you, mate. I didn't know like the whole schedule. Like, some people would just be able to recite off the top of their head because they absolutely love international football. But for me, Liverpool is my passion. That's
bread
my
and
love.
Bread and butter.
Yeah, that's what I've grown up loving. And we'll get on to Liverpool in a moment. But I agree, mate. When the World Cup came along, didn't really want it because we knew it was going to happen. But we were just getting into our stride. Me and my brother went to the Southampton game. And we both said on the way home in the car, like, we're actually starting to, like, get good again now. Nunes scored a brace on that day. And then all of a sudden, that's it. Bye, Anfield. See you again in 2023. So it's been good. It's been a nice break. We've had no injuries, as far as I'm concerned, with the boys in Qatar, which is a huge positive. Because I think there's still games to go, yeah. But listen, everyone's saying like players were saving themselves and stuff, so we'll see what happens. But I've watched as much as I can. Obviously, like you say, when you're working and stuff, the 3 p.m.s, the 10 a.m.s or whatever are difficult to watch. Mm. But it has been fun, and it's different. Obviously, it's freezing cold outside. There's no beer gardens around where I live, that's for sure.
Nah,
for this World Cup,
that's a myth, mate. That beer garden.
Yeah. Look how you're dressed in your house.
Look at me, bro.
No heating in this climate,
bro. The way these energy prices are. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on a different day. But let's get into some of our boys, mate, because a lot of people said, "Oh, Liverpool don't have many players."
Jude, yeah, our boy, yeah.
But we'll get on to Jude, our boy. Let's talk about the players that are officially in our books right now. Jude might be there soon.
We'll start from the back, yeah?
Yeah, so I was just going to ask you, mate, who... Because, like I said, a lot of banter has been going around. It's like, oh, they've not got many players. But I was thinking about, we've got Virgil, Konate, Alisson, Hendo. Mm-hmm. We had Nunes. So that's five. I think that might be it.
I think that's it.
But who's impressed you out of all of those, mate, the most that have gone to the World Cup?
Probably Konate. I know he only played one game, but that one game... Because I was watching... can't remember who they had in their group.
Kev's a troll, man. Good friend of mine, though. So we don't mind it.
Sorry. Yeah,
I get him on, man.
I didn't really... that made me laugh. The first game they played, he was solid. Virgil, he hasn't really come out of his stride. He does what he's done. And like I said, Virgil and Alisson, Alisson has just continued his form from the league.
Yeah, that's no surprise to anyone, is it?
This is the mark of a goalkeeper, of a good goalkeeper, not good to great goalkeeper. You don't get surprised when he makes good saves. You just expect it. And even the game, the last game that they played, whereby he made a couple of saves. And I said it before, when Alisson gets beaten, I'm more surprised when Alisson gets beaten rather than when he makes a save.
Facts. Absolutely. For me, there's two, mate. Alisson, like you say, incredible. Konate as well has done very well. I think he's played two games. And then when Varane's back, for some reason, obviously his reputation is, you know, a big thing, which is fair enough. Yeah. You know, you need these guys in these big games. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And then Jordan Henderson was my other one.
Really?
Jordan Henderson. I think the difference... So we saw how England played without Henderson, the midfield, very passive, not really having control of the game. And as soon as they brought Hendo into the team, they look a lot more solid, especially in the midfield. And I think that... Look, we've all criticised Henderson so much on this show, on my channel, on Twitter, in group chats. Everyone's been very critical of Jordan Henderson this season, and rightfully so at times. But I think when you hear and when you see people like Gareth Southgate and Harry Kane talk about the importance of him in the team, in a setup, just not even just on the pitch, but off the pitch, you need those leaders in the camp to win trophies. And like I say, Harry Kane's been very vocal about how important Henderson is. Jude Bellingham, our potential boy, which we're going to have a big segment on in just a little bit. He's been awfully close to Jordan Henderson in this international break, which is, why would a 19-year-old be that close to a 32-year-old?
And Trent as well. And Trent.
Yeah, I know, but I expect Trent because he's young. But mate, if your 19-year-old lad goes and becomes mates with a 32-year-old man, yeah, Jude's 19, bro. It's not you don't normally get those friendships, do you? A 19-year-old, 19 years old.
19.
Bezzies with a 32-year-old man. Which doesn't
Jude Bellingham is 19.
Jude Bellingham's 19, and he's not even 20 until I can't remember when his birthday is. But we're going to get on to Jude. What I'm saying is, even he's spoken so much about Jordan
Henderson.
I didn't
even know that. I thought he was 21, 22.
No. He's 19. So when you're hearing these big players talk about the importance of him, of course, the performances have to come with it, for sure. But you need leaders. You need those guys that are going to keep players on their toes, make sure everything's in line. If you do something wrong, they call you up on it. If you do something good, they praise you. And not even just that, because it is easy to just say he's there to be a cheerleader. But his performances as well, let's not forget that. The two games he's played, or the two games that I've watched him play at least, really, really good. And I'm taking positives from that as well, because I now... You know, I've seen, Henderson can still do it when it matters. So now, can he do it for us? Because that would be nice. I think he's been really good. I think he's probably been, him and Alisson, Alisson's been our best player at the World Cup by a mile. I think he was very unfortunate to concede yesterday. Took a deflection to beat
him. But that's not his fault, though. That's not...
No way is it his fault.
With a deflection, literally, we as Liverpool fans know. You get a deflection off anything, the ball can go anywhere.
That's true. So, Joel Matip, Kevin De Bruyne last season, fine margins.
Not even even further back, the beach ball.
Of course, Sunderland, yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's the one that I've been most impressed with. We'll get on to Jude in a bit. I don't want to talk about him too much
right now.
We've got a whole thing on Jude Bellingham. But just lastly, in terms of this in general, mate, who do you think will win the World Cup?
It's not really like paying me to say it. I just think France will retain it.
You reckon?
That Mbappe guy, like I'm not like, oh my god, Mbappe, but the two goals he scored against, who was it? Who did they play? Poland. Like,
yeah.
Ridiculous. we some FIFA bullshit, like I can't see past France. Maybe Brazil. They've got too many. And this is the thing. It's not just Mbappe. And I would love it for England to beat France. But Mbappe, Dembele.
They're just stacked, man. Every position. Every single position. These guys are stacked.
The only position where they're weak at is the goalkeeper. That Lloris is trash. I don't trust him. But there's so many guys in front of him that are just and they even got Pogba playing and all that, like, and that Tchouaméni again, quality player, Dembele, quality player, Giroud, quality player, Griezmann, quality player, like, it's just like, it's like they've got so
Griezmann,
many guys.
That's a great one, to be fair, because I've been very impressed with Griezmann. He seems to be playing like a bit of a deeper role for France,
like a six kind of, not a six, but
a false nine kind of thing,
So. I just don't see it, because we'll get into it later.
I bet it's still Brazil. Let me see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those are the two teams I don't know whether it's just me, but I don't watch the games from the beginning anymore. I let the game, after about 20 minutes, I'll watch the game, because that's when it starts to warm up. That first 10, 20 minutes, normally they don't really, it's like a boxing match. They're just feeling each other out. So, yeah.
Yeah, so Brazil are favourites to win it. And then it's France. Then it's England, Argentina, Portugal and Holland. So
I don't think our defence is not. I don't know.
You reckon Mbappe is going to be getting some Jordan Kyle Walker? Yeah.
It's not even Mbappe. I just think Giroud is going to cause England problems.
Yeah.
He's going to cause Harry Kane.
We need to put some respect on Giroud's name. 100%.
Bro, he's the top French scorer ever. He beat Henry.
Someone said Henry's got nothing left now in the game, which is a bit crazy. But
let's not do that.
Yeah, Giroud's now overtaking him. And look, Giroud is a player. He's not everyone's cup of tea. I know that. But he's class. He's oozing class. And I always thought he was very disrespected when he was in England. Done very well at Arsenal, very well at Chelsea. Went to Milan, done well. Like you say, the record for France speaks for itself. Very technical player. People see his size and think, oh, he can't do anything. His technical ability is incredible.
Did you see his touch for Mbappe's first goal?
Yeah. Unreal, mate. Absolutely incredible.
What more do you want? What more do you want?
No, exactly. Let's get on to some juicy transfer stuff then, mate. There's been a couple of players, if we don't include Jude Bellingham, there's been two which I've seen dominate Liverpool Twitter the most. And then there's Jude Bellingham.
Mm-hmm.
We've been linked with two forwards. I mean, one of them is more versatile and can play in a number of positions. But Mohamed Kudus and Cody Gakpo. We're going to talk about Mohamed Kudus first. He's on the thumbnail as well as Cody Gakpo. Two goals in three games. From what I saw of Ghana, he was dynamite when he played, doing really, really good things for them. And a Dutch journalist, I believe, called Mike Verijs, I don't know why I say his name.
Don't butcher the name. Yeah.
Liverpool, he said Liverpool have entered the race to try and sign Mohamed Kudus. Now, we knew from the start of this tournament that we had scouts there watching Mohamed Kudus. That was very well publicised everywhere. Obviously, there's nothing concrete in that. You know, Liverpool, a world-class team, have scouts at all of these competitions. It's normal. Mm. But, you know, it was reported from a lot of people that we were looking at Kudus. But after seeing him now on the world stage, mate, is this a guy that you could see coming in if potentially one of them, like, say, Bobby Firmino goes out? Or No? You're shaking your head? You don't think so? Okay.
You know what it is with Liverpool? Liverpool, over the last years, they don't... They don't dive in on signings just because they have a good couple of games. And I get and the thing about it is it's a World Cup, and obviously they want to do their best. I just don't see it personally. But I might be wrong. That's just my personal.
Do you think they've only been looking at him for a few games though? Because let's not forget, right? Liverpool have a tendency when a player comes to Anfield and plays well to sign them. And the Ajax game. That's the Ajax kid, yeah. This guy scored right in front of me, bro. And dancing, I'm thinking, what?
I was thinking of something else. Yeah,
it's the Ajax guy, bro.
He's left-footed, isn't
he? Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I remember the goal he scored.
He's left-footed, yeah. So what I'm saying is, I don't necessarily think it's a case of, like, they just watch him in the World Cup. I think it goes back to the Ajax game and maybe even before then.
We do have a history of buying players that score against
us. Exactly. Yeah, and it wasn't just the goal. The way he performed, the character he had, the maturity in his game. You know, and like I say for you, mate, when I said to you, when I watched Ghana in the World Cup, I think I watched two of their games. Mm. He looked like the only
threat.
Yeah, the main threat. You know, you've got the Ayew brothers in there because obviously their dad's Abedi Pele, and that's why they're in the team. There's a lot of politics involved in that. But Kudus was the star boy. Like, he was the main guy. The creativity in him, you know, the versatility. Apparently, he could play as a number 8. He could play as a 10. He could play on the wing. And I think that's the sort of profile that we'd be looking for because...
Swiss knife.
Yeah, I thought Jota, like, you know, we've heard that he's out now until February, which is another 2 months away. That's what was going around, I think, on Twitter. Hopefully, he'll be back before then. But if Liverpool,
he was excellent against Man City. That guy,
since he came back, he was really good. Like, he was a player which started to play a bit deeper for us, and you could really see him like coming back into his element. And then he got injured. And now the talk is that he's going to be out for a couple more months. Again, we don't know that he's gone to Dubai with the squad. So hopefully things will speed up, but. Yeah. If Liverpool do go for a forward in the market in the summer, or in January, sorry, I've got a feeling it would be him, because the other guy we'll quickly move on to now, Cody Gakpo, he's probably been even more impressive for me. Three goals in four. Man. Yeah. The only thing about him is there are a lot of other clubs interested, and I think I've got a feeling he's going to go United, to be honest. But let's read out this tweet from, again, a Dutch source, supposedly reliable, but I'm not even going to begin to pronounce the name. Liverpool are ready to begin transfer talk with Cody Gakpo's agents and representatives once he's finished with the Holland team at the World Cup, with the PSV winger set to cost in the region of €50 million. What do you think of that? First of all, €50 million for how he's performed at the World Cup, plus his reputation from the Eredivisie. That's what, 40 mil? Surely they'll want more than that, right?
Yeah, they might do, but if the guy wants to come here, they listen, this is what I want. You know how, in other transfer windows, we've normally got a bargain when we buy a player. So, look, I don't really, it's all well and good with the smoke and mirrors, with the journalists and stuff like that. But these kind of things, because I used to be like one of those people that would check all the time, every day, check what's going on. Yeah, when they're ready to announce it,
I still am, mate. every day checking, Jude. What's Jude saying? Has Jude done another interview? Every day, bro, I swear.
I leave it. When it happens, it's more enjoyable. Because then I'm kind of weird, because I like, once it happens, I like to then go back and see who was on the right path in terms of, you know, this person said this and it didn't happen, and then this person said this and it did happen, kind of thing. So yeah, kind of like Agent Henderson and Trent with Jude.
And we'll get on to our agents in a bit. Yeah,
yeah,
but exactly. But do you think that Liverpool would spend that kind of money on another forward? Because our last big signing was a forward. Our last two big signings, really.
How much would he go for?
I'd say 50 mil, you're talking minimum. You've got to think, we just bought Nunes.
Again,
we bought
Diaz
last summer.
Topics, but it depends on the people.
It's not what we need.
It's not about what you need, it's what you can get right now.
True, no, you're right. It is about the people that take over, and obviously we don't know that. We're still very much in the dark with what's going to happen with our club. But again, I know we need a forward. You know, Bobby's probably going to.
Yeah, Bobby's going to. I don't know. It's weird, but it's good, because even though we've got a good team, it feels like our squad is in transition. Is that just me?
Yeah, 100%. I didn't want to believe that at the start of the season when people were saying it. Like, everyone was like, oh, it's going to be a transition period for Liverpool. And I said, I don't see why. We're just adding a few new players into the squad. But, you know, obviously, as the season's gone on, I've kind of understood what people meant. This squad is getting older and we need to refresh. And looking back, okay, I was wrong about the transfer window. On the face of it, I thought that we had a really good transfer window. But now, in hindsight, I'm thinking that was nowhere near enough. I've always remained on the same page when it comes to Jude Bellingham, and this is the first thing I'll say about Jude Bellingham before we get on to him, that if we're willing to wait for Jude Bellingham, as long as we get Jude Bellingham, fine. But if we're willing to wait for Jude Bellingham and we don't get Jude Bellingham, then what are we doing here? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think it
kind
might
of
be
putting
same.
All your eggs into that and then him not coming, it's a bit silly for me. And we know that this club always waits for their targets. Look at Virgil.
We literally had
to put out a statement on our website apologising to Southampton for Jurgen Klopp meeting up with him to tap him up. We had to say that. And then we said, we're ending all interest. We're not going to sign him. And then 5 months later, we go and sign him. So I think history might be repeating itself here. We've put all our eggs into this basket. I don't want to get too much into it, but he's obviously the midfielder that we need. So I've not really beaten myself up about midfielders. I quickly understood that he wasn't available last summer. Fine, whatever, get on with it. Put your faith into Harvey Elliott, who I know you've not been too sold over yet.
He's beginning to grow on me.
Yeah, no, that's fair. He's had a good season in my books. But look, like you say, mate, we don't know what situation we're going to be in January, do we? And we're going to get on to the ownership stuff in just a bit. So, guys, make sure you smash like button and subscribe. We're talking all things Jude Bellingham, all things new owners. We're going to get on to Jude right now. Let's just cut the chase. Anfield, Rods and Nick says he subscribed to the channel. Big up you,
good
mate.
Man.
Everyone take a leaf from his book. Subscribe to the channel. Help us grow. That would be very much appreciated. And thank you for your nice words as well, mate. Appreciate it. Chicks, hey Jude, is he coming? Tell me, is he coming?
I'm not gonna say. I can either confirm or deny. There will be a.
What are your sources telling us, mate? What are your sources saying?
Listen, I can either confirm or deny that he's gonna be arriving at Anfield. I can either do that, but what I will say is, thoroughly impressed with that. Oh, I was already impressed with him anyway, but that game against Senegal, just like, wow. Like, just the intelligence. Like, I was saying to him, he should have played the ball earlier to Jude, but he's like, nah, I'm going past this guy, yeah, and I'm going to hold it until it's the right moment to play it. And even the ball to Hendo and the celebration, I love that celebration.
The celebration's like, a bit, I was thinking, they're going to kiss in a minute, but it was weird, man. But
no, it was good. Do you celebrate
with someone like that that you're not going to be boys with? Like, can we take anything from that celebration, that moment that they had where
I think it shows, if anything, that celebration just shows the level of camaraderie in the team. I think he will come, but even if he doesn't, it just shows that. Listen, and all of us always give Southgate pelters, like he doesn't know what he's doing, but you got to give Southgate his props. He's the team that he's got playing, they're playing, even though the first half an hour or so was a bit they were trying to find their feet. But once they did find their feet, they put Senegal to the sword.
They did.
And Iran, Wales, they put to the sword. It's only USA, but USA are very good at just two banks of four and not coming out of their shape.
My thing with that, just going back to England for a minute, is look, people know my stance on this. I don't really get involved too much. If they win it, great. If they don't, they don't. It's that kind of thing for me. But I've been very critical of Southgate, and the teams you just mentioned there, I'd expect England to beat and fairly comfortably, which they did. It's the big games, the big moments, the moments that can define a manager's legacy. And the Croatia game was shocking. The Italy game was shocking. And this is going to be the toughest test yet. So like you say, if he comes through this one and wins it, I might have to say, look, fair enough. I might have been a bit harsh, but until that happens, until they actually do more than what I know that they can already do, then I just have the same thing. But let's get on to Jude. You've already mentioned about his performance there, mate, and the way he plays, the maturity. Like when I told you he's 19 and you assumed he was a bit older.
Yeah, he acts that way.
Yeah, he does. When you listen to him, when he's doing interviews, when you see him on the pitch commanding players around, the way he plays, the way he just, he oozes in class. And there's a lot of talk over Gavi, Pedri, Jude, who's the best? Jude's the number one for me.
I'm taking Jude, bro. Clear. He's sure what he does.
He's clear. And I think he should have won that
Young
Golden Boy Award. Gavi won it. Spain hype and all of that. But
I look at the karma. They're on the plane home now.
Exactly, yeah. And Jude's absolutely smashing it. So I saw from that game exactly what I wanted to see, watching him play with Henderson. You know, this guy's arguably going to be one of Henderson's successors at Liverpool. Just the bond he has with him on the pitch. But let's just talk about the bond off the pitch for a minute, Shiggs, because I said it at the start, mate, and chat, get involved with this if you can, because we're detectives now, right? We're going to look for the clues to say that Jude is coming to Liverpool, Columbo. Right? There was a picture. Right, so first of all, let's go back a few days, right? Trent absolutely blew up Twitter. I don't know if you saw it, because I wish I was like you and I could take a backseat from Twitter, but I'm just too sucked in. I can't do it.
Yeah, that's all right.
He said, I'm on a walk with my bro. And he's just put up a picture of him and Jude, which is the first thing. Everyone's going crazy. Then there was an interview. So in the mix zone where they do the interviews after the game, Henderson and Jude are together. And a reporter says, you're a big player for England on the pitch. And then he says, and also Liverpool next season. And Bellingham just looks at Hendo and they both just burst out laughing and they walk off saying, oh, you've ruined the interview, whatever. Just laughing, having a bit of a joke. Then the last piece of evidence, we'll call it evidence, he was a local lad in Qatar, right? So there was Trent, Jude and Hendo, again, sat together. Just, is that coincidence that these guys are always together? I don't know. Maybe we're looking too much into it. Maybe they're just good friends. Who knows? But this lad says to Jude, you are the best CM in the world. Come to Real Madrid. And Henderson say again, no, not Madrid. And then the guy goes to Henderson, ha, you lost Champions League final, not Liverpool. And then Henderson just starts laughing his head off and then says, yes, Liverpool. And then the guy walks off and whatever. So all of these things I'm seeing, Shiggs, all of the things I'm hearing them say, do you think that these guys have been sent on the scouting mission? Because let me just read out a tweet from Florian Plettenberg, who is a very reliable source from Germany. As revealed in our show, Transfer Update a few weeks ago, Man United has hardly any chance on a now out of the race of Jude Bellingham. Liverpool are still in. Klopp and Liverpool players are pushing. Dortmund will sell him in this for €150 million. I personally think it'll be less than that. But that is what they're saying. Have these boys been sent on a scouting mission to get this guy?
100%. Because you don't see
it happens, right? It happens all the time.
You don't see them taking photos with Saka and Jack Grealish and all that guy on walks with Jack Grealish. Listen, it is what it is. The game is the game, isn't it? Don't hate the player, hate the game. So it's part of the thing. And hopefully it happens because, God, do we need an upgrade in our midfield? Our midfield has become pedestrian over the last few months. So we need an injection Could you imagine him and Gakpo in the midfield?
So what? Gakpo where? Sorry. Easy. So Bellingham in centre mid, and then Gakpo
and on the wing. Or even him, Thiago, and Bellingham in the midfield.
This is the thing why I'm so desperate for Thiago to come in, because Bellingham to come in, because for the first year or 2 years he'd be playing with Thiago, and then when Thiago leaves because of his age, Bellingham's there to take over.
Doesn't Thiago's contract end this season?
Not this season. No. One more season.
Okay.
It's just Oxnabi and Milner.
They need to get out. Midfielders. I'm sorry.
This is why all aligns, all makes sense.
Oh, Naby,
all three
to
of
Dortmund.
Those guys. No, I'm not even just saying that he's going to Dortmund, but we're losing three midfielders. And I worked out the other day, their wages add up to about 400k a week. So we're freeing up 400 grand of wages. Three spots, three midfielders are going. It is impossible for me to see a summer transfer window where Liverpool don't go heavy on midfielders. And even if it's not Jude, even if for some reason
disaster happens.
Yeah, but listen, I'm just saying, even if it's not, right, there is no way that they don't go heavy and sign some incredible, whether it be Enzo Fernandez, Jude Bellingham, one of the top young midfielders in the world. I can't see it, because we know how important this position is to win trophies. You know, before we got Fabinho, before we got all these guys coming in, we were miles off it without top midfielders. So we know now how important these guys can just change your team. And the guys we have at the minute are coming to the end of the cycle. Sadly, they are. That's the truth. But we now need to refresh it and go again. I think so as well. And we always said, I think we've done numerous shows where me and you, we've spoken about Tchouaméni and Jude. And we always said, and I always was confident that those were the two they wanted. We obviously failed to get Tchouaméni. Fine, you know, if a young player wants to go to Real Madrid, that's their dream. Good luck. You can't really say anything about that. Real Madrid, you know, who would turn them down, really?
Plus,
for that
mate,
money?
Camavinga's there as well.
Exactly. So then when it became quickly like clear to me that we weren't going to get Tchouaméni, I was like, okay, fine. Now we're going to try and get Jude. Obviously, in the summer, everyone was saying Liverpool want him. He wasn't available. Now money talks. Now if we're going for him in the summer, he will be available.
I'm gonna add another factor into it, bro. Yeah.
Go on.
And I'm sure you already thought this already, but you gotta think, for the new owners that come in, they're gonna wanna make a statement as well.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if they wanna make a statement, they bring in Jude, they bring in Gakpo, and they bring in the guy from Ghana, the Ghana team, that's three signings that are already like, okay. Because that's easy.
I mean, Jude's enough for me. If they just want to come in and sign
Jude is not enough, bro.
To start the process. Like, If we next summer, right? So Naby, Milner, and Ox, let's say they all go. I don't know if they will. Maybe one of them signs an extension, but I agree with you. I think we just need to let them all go and start again. So then we'd have what? Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, Bellingham if he signs. Elliot, Curtis Jones, that's not enough. That's still not enough.
Yeah,
you still need one more quality midfielder in there. And we still need to factor in the injuries that, you know, Henderson and Thiago have. Elliot is still, you can't trust him too much. Like, he's getting good. He's now, you know, getting that Premier League experience, but still he's young. Bellingham as well. Let's not forget, we can't just think putting in Bellingham is going to solve everything. It will solve a lot of things. It will make us a lot better. I've seen it. it will make us a far, far better team than what we already are now, without a shadow of a doubt. But it won't be enough on its own. We'll still need to do more. But what I'm saying is, if the owners do want to come in and just say, like, we're signing Bellingham, kind of get an announcement out there already, that's enough for me, man. That's enough.
Could you imagine? Jeez.
But, yeah, Jude, for me, let's just talk about him in general now. So we've spoken about the chances of getting him, the work that the boys are doing. You know, they're doing an incredible job.
The groundwork, yeah.
Creating bonds, making friendships. This is a guy that would secure our midfield spot, that number eight for what? A decade
easy. He would take that up, Naby, show Naby what he's meant to do, that number eight.
Do you think he would take number eight, or do you think he's going to keep his 22?
Well, I don't know.
Because 22 is iconic for Jude Bellingham. Yeah, because Birmingham retired the number, and then he stuck with it at Dortmund. Maybe he wants to stick with it. Maybe he wants to take Stevie G's number, because let's not forget, Shiggs, that's another piece of evidence that I forgot to add into the investigation.
Yeah.
We spoke about Stevie G and how much he... brother, you were like 2 years old when Stevie G was in his prime. What do you mean this guy was your hero, man?
Yeah, listen, it is what it is. We'll see. I don't think that shirt would wear heavy on him. I don't think he would just take it and stride and do what he needs to do. So... I hope it happens, because just watching him against
Calvin Ramsey's 22. I didn't even know. I forgot about this guy. Calvin Ramsey's number 22. So it's number 8 then. Nabilad's number. Number 8. Premier League winner, by the way, number 8.
And Champions League.
Exactly. But, well, this guy didn't win the Prem. Oh, where is it? Here.
Yeah.
Shameless, man. I'm being shameless. Don't hate me. This guy's my favorite ever player. I met him. It was the best moment of my life. I am joking. Okay. I always say it to my mates, my number 8 Premier League winner, and they get so triggered by it. It's so funny. But Jude, look, people say, 100 million, Liverpool won't spend that much money, right? But the way I was thinking about it, if you're spending that on a player like Jude, who's going to secure that midfield spot for a decade, that's worth every penny to me. That's worth every single penny. Because these big signings, and this is the thing, we've spoken a lot about FSG, and we'll get onto the ownership talk in a minute, mate. But when we've needed to make the big signings, more often than not, we have. Nunes, obviously, with Mane. Van Dijk, Ali, Fabinho.
There you go.
Even Salah, Mane. They were, for the time, they were big fees. Like 35 million now looks like nothing. But back then, let's not forget, the average rate of a top player was about 50 million.
Yeah.
And we were spending 40 million on these guys. And look, I know with the whole sell to buy thing is people will say, yeah, but we lost this guy, that guy to get them. Okay, fine. We did do that. And we need to get away from that 100%. And that is probably why they are looking to sell, to get away from that. Because you can't do that model now. But we have, normally when we need the big boys, we've got them in, we've got good deals. My only issue is, obviously Michael Edwards left and now Julian Ward's left. So who the hell is going to negotiate these deals? I don't know.
I don't know. But don't you get a bit suspicious that both of them have left in quick succession? Like
time
that?
For change, mate. Time for change. Is that what it is? They're going before the push. They're going before the push, mate. That's what it is. Let's get on to takeover chat, mate, because this whole thing intertwines with it, because the likelihood of us getting Jude Bellingham, you know, that it would probably align with us getting new owners to spend that amount of cash. And we've spoken a lot about owners, and we've done a couple of streams now, and we, you know, we both agreed that we kind of need to join the likes of City and that to compete.
You can't beat them.
You got to join him, mate. But David Lynch, very reliable journalist, tweeted yesterday or the day before that a joint Saudi and Qatari consortium have emerged as strong early contenders to buy Liverpool after joining forces to avoid embroiled in a bidding war. And then, just on the back of that, let me just say one more thing, one more tweet. This is a quote from Virgil van Dijk. Now, I think this is a very interesting and telling quote, because I don't normally hear football players talk in this manner unless they know something. But he says this: whoever comes in to fill those roles, they will do very well. I am aware of everything that is happening, and hopefully everything will be sorted and clarified when I am back. Now, normally, Shiggs, when a football player is asked about the ins and outs of a football club like that,
that's not my forte.
Yeah, exactly. Let me do my job on the pitch and, you know, that will take care of itself. Or, you know, I don't really know, but as long as we win on the pitch, that's the main thing. Something cliche like that.
Yeah.
That last sentence from me, hopefully everything will be sorted and clarified when I get back. Is this potential takeover, do you think there's a chance that this could be happening sooner rather than later? Or do you still think it will take a long time to process and finalise?
I think, because don't they have to do like 6 months due diligence or something like that?
I'm not sure. I don't have a clue how it works, to be honest.
I'm sure there is, because when Newcastle were being bought, it took them ages to get it sorted. So,
yeah, I think Mike Ashley was was playing hardball to sell the club as well, but think FSG want to sell, and they would be happy to sell quickly if the price is right.
Yeah, well, listen, however long it takes, I hope it gets sorted. And FSG have done the best as they can. They've helped the club move on and do what they needed to do. And they're literally going to pass the baton on to another person that hopefully can put us back in the stratosphere where we're winning titles every other year in Champions Leagues and stuff like that and continue the winning tradition. So I'm assuming, but it sounds like Van Dijk knows something. Hopefully we get early Christmas present. Could you imagine the yellow ticker tape? Christmas morning.
Wow. Wow. What a present. Do you know what they did, right? They announced Virgil van Dijk around Christmas in 2017, and that
with Wijnaldum, isn't it, as well, I remember.
Yeah. Well, no, it was... But on that day when they announced Virgil, he was literally standing in front of his Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And that just sent us all crazy. Bro, can you imagine? He tucking into some Christmas turkey, pigs in blankets, TAT, the green circle. Liverpool takeover, complete. It would be incredible. And all of a sudden, people will start doing spaces on Christmas Day. I wouldn't be involved in that because Christmas Day is time for food, family, presents, beer, all of that stuff, man. But I can imagine the people that don't celebrate Christmas or whatever.
Kill me if
exactly,
I
mate.
Away from that.
But the people, you know, we have a huge following of people that don't celebrate Christmas, so they would be all over it. And, you know, some people that even do might not be able to help themselves, and it would be ridiculous. But I don't know. It does seem like he knows something, and the players aren't naive. That this is a huge football club, they will know that what is happening. And I feel like this whole process has probably been going on a lot longer than what's been made to the public.
Yeah.
I think when Jurgen Klopp signed his contract, and obviously he was given assurances, he wouldn't have signed that contract if he didn't feel like the future is bright for this club. If he felt like this club's going to go downhill, and you know they're not going to be able to provide him with the tools he needs to go and build on what he's done for us, which is an awful lot, by the way. You know, I get fed up with Liverpool fans that he's not done enough. That do us a favor, like we've won everything, and last season was heartbreak. Don't get me wrong, it was heartbreak, but we still won two trophies. Exactly. And for him to sign that contract just told me that he, whether it's FSG, whether it's new guys coming in, he believes that this club is going in the right direction. And of course, the performances and the results haven't been there this season. But, you know, thankfully, we're not just playing for one season. There's more seasons to come. There's more chances to win trophies. We're still in the Champions League. I still think we'll get top four. You know, none of these bums ahead of us really scare me. I'm sorry, they don't. They don't. They're not about it. Arsenal, their collapse is going to start now. Gabriel Jesus is out for 3 months. Like, let's not kid ourselves. We are rubbish at the minute, right? But we are 4 points behind Man United, who supposedly have been very good. And all of a sudden, like, we win a game and they drop points, we'll be right on top of them. And if there's any team that can go on that 10-game streak, it's us. 2021 season, mate. We needed to be pretty much perfect in that last 10 games to get top four. Alisson Becker's up there scoring goals, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want to write this team off, do it at your own peril.
Yeah,
do it at your own peril. But all I know is that when the push comes to shove, Liverpool will be there or thereabouts. I don't think we'll win the league this season. I think we'll be a long way off that. I still think City will win it comfortably now. But I think the second half of the season will be good for us. I really do. We've got players coming back. Luis Diaz is back now. We'll get onto that, mate, close things off. He's back, bro. He's training, fully training with the ball at his feet. He's not just out there running on a pitch to get some content for Twitter. He's literally playing football. These friendlies coming up now as well are going to be big for some of the guys. Some of the young guys as well, like Ben Dauk, that is with the big team, which is good. Yeah. But yeah, let's just finish with that, mate. How are you feeling now going into the second half of the season?
I'm feeling a lot more optimistic. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
A lot more optimistic, especially with Luis Diaz back. You saw in that Arsenal game, even though we lost, him and Nuno seem to have a good rapport. So a long way that continue. Now they can take it further. And we missed him, man. Like, the way we're playing now, with him in the team now, could you imagine him against Tottenham? We would have ripped him apart.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. And people are very harsh on Nunes, I think, in the World Cup, and he's not been great. I'm not going to look for too many excuses for him, but that Uruguay team stunk. And it wasn't just him either.
Yeah.
Fede Valverde is supposedly one of the best centre mids in the world right now.
He was awful.
He was rubbish. No one, but no one says anything about him, do they? Of course not. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but it's Liverpool. But Liverpool are there to be taking shots at. That's what people do, isn't it?
Exactly. But you're right, mate. Nunes was coming into his element. That Southampton game, like I said, and the couple before that, the was it Napoli scored against?
Yeah.
It's a blur now, isn't it? Flipping out. I can't remember the games.
And he set up Salah in the Tottenham game.
Here we go. And he also played that same ball. Was it against Southampton when he rolls the defender, plays it across the box, and Salah is literally that close away from pointing in the back of the net?
Yeah.
So now he's settled in, ready to go. We've got Diaz coming back. We might make a January signing. Who knows? I'm optimistic as ever, you know, and I'm always optimistic. We could sign nobody next summer, and we're gonna be okay.
I can't disagree with that.
I feel in my heart or not is a different story, but I'm never gonna be here like admitting defeat before a ball's kicked. And I think we needed to hit the reset button, kind of. And although yes, the last few games before the break were good for us and we were winning games, I think still going away for the boys mentally, you know, the guys that didn't go to the World Cup, just for them to have that time off with their family, go away, do whatever they needed to do, then come back.
Recharge.
Yeah, man, I think it's such a savage world out there for football players right now, and you know, people think it's so easy to be one. All they have to do is play football and get loads of money.
There's not easy.
So for them to have that break, mate, mentally and physically, I think that's going to do them the world of good.
Definitely.
Do you have any predictions, mate? What's going to happen second half of the season for us?
It's kind of weird because
number seven, Champions League settings. Istanbul settings, bro.
Maybe.
Last season, you said Eiffel Tower settings.
Yeah, we'll see. Why did you bring that? We've got Madrid in the next round.
Yeah, but we've never played them across two legs. Well, yes, we have. Not on the clock. Oh, we have. 2021, we have.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
My bad. Yeah. You know what? I forget that game ever existed, man.
Yeah.
Until I remember Trent doing ice skating stuff against Vinicius.
Oh,
insane.
Oh, wow.
That game's a distant memory, man. I always forget.
I actually can't call it. I can't.
Wait, did we play at Anfield in that? Because
we
I remember
did.
For the Leipzig game,
nil,
we wasn't
nil
able
at
to
home
play
at
Anfield.
Lost, 2-1 at their ground.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's right. But when I say Anfield, Chicks, I mean Anfield, right?
Yeah.
None of this will put signs on the chairs to make a little message. This is Anfield, and they've not been here since, I think, was it 2009?
Yeah, where Gerrard and
Torres.
With a
full crowd. Yeah, so for that game, mate, there's going to be a big bus greeting. There's going to be pyro everywhere. The crowd's going to be up for it. The only downside for that one
Madrid,
is for me
bro,
that
they're
the first...
cut from a different cloth, bro. That's not going to intimidate them, man.
These boys will know, right, that this is our best chance of winning something big this season. The league's probably gone now. Now they need to put everything.
Okay, are we beating Madrid? Yes or no,
I think we'll beat them at Anfield. I think we'll beat them at home. Whether that's enough, because like I was saying, the downside is we do have the home leg first. You usually want to bring the game back to Anfield. Mm. But this time, it's home first. So we have to go out there, just go at them. Because
I'll say this. If we beat Madrid, we'll win it.
What? So if we win the first leg? No, just in general?
If we beat Madrid over the tie, we'll win the Champions League. We'll be out. But if we beat Madrid, we'll win it. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is. I'm not gonna sit here and say revenge mission and all of that stuff because
Salah's got experience about that revenge mission bullshit.
I hope Mo Salah just.
And shut your mouth anything. And do your talking on your pitch, bro.
Exactly. Just don't even put a picture out. Just literally. Train for the build-up and don't do anything. Then we step foot out against Real Madrid.
Then you can tweet after the game.
Then exactly. Then once it's all done, tweet whatever you want, like shush emojis. Do whatever you want. But for now, let's just not make ourselves look like clowns again, because that was awful. Like, the amount of times I saw, like, rival fans quoting that tweet, it was savage. This guy,
yeah, I know, battered. Grabbing it, trying to chat. Yeah, it was.
What did he put again? A scoreline to settle. Oh,
yeah.
But to be fair, because you remember, you look back at that final, right? I don't think Madrid weren't better in terms of
they
like,
weren't, bro. We had one. Anyway, let's not.
No, but we need to talk about this because Madrid.
I can't, bro, because it's gonna.
That's
bring
how
out my
that's gonna be. That's gonna be the biggest moment by far of this season. Everything could rely on that game.
Yeah, so, but I
we
can't,
have to talk about it.
I can't relive the Trent annoyance that.
I don't think I don't think I don't think that goal was on Trent. That's me.
It wasn't Trent, bro.
There was a lot going on before that ball gets to Trent.
Nah. I'm not gonna let you do that, Ben.
Listen to me. Andy Robertson. So why do you have the same energy for Robbo?
Because the cross is coming, but you were standing.
I'm gonna watch the goal back, bro.
The reason why I don't have the same energy for them is Vinicius came from, he was behind you when the ball was shot and it was in front of you when he scored. That means you ain't done your job. I don't, get me wrong, them lot didn't do their job either. But the
it's
fact
what I'm saying,
that you
it's what I'm saying to
you,
mate.
The guy came in, are you going to stop it? You know what it is, even if you forget about that goal,
you forget about that goal for just one moment. Were they like that much better than us in the game? Be
no,
honest.
But that's not, that's,
no,
but that's,
not at all.
That's the thing, finals are won on fine margins, bro. And you know, and the thing that's pissing me off the most, yeah, is when I was watching the game, bro, I was shouting, Trent, watch the back post. Trent, watch the back post. If I can see it as someone watching the telly, why can't a defender who's on the pitch think to myself, let me look over my shoulder?
No, I hear that for sure, but I don't think it was. Like, everyone just says Trent. It was for me, that goal was on all of them. Virgil, Robbo, even Konate was flawless in that game. I think they all could have done more. Trent was the final product of the goal. And inevitably, that is what, you know, is going to be remembered. But my point before we went off on that tangent was they didn't outclass us. They didn't.
No, they didn't. It was just literally one game and they took the opportunity. And let's not get it twisted. We did have our opportunities, but Coutinho was on a mad one.
Exactly. We Mane.
Let me put it this way. Let's hope we get the Coutinho that played for Belgium in this World Cup.
I don't even know why we're still talking about this, but that Mane chance, if that's the chance he leaves on, if that's the moment he scores that goal and then he leaves.
Yeah, that was a great save from Fingy as well.
But listen, this is why, as fans, we can say that we need to get revenge because we're not playing on the pitch. We won't look silly if we don't, but we do need to prove a point out there. We have to prove a point. Like, these guys have just ruined our... you know, if it weren't for them, we could be sat here with three Champions League trophies under one manager. Obviously, ifs, buts, and maybes, whatever. But the first one was a terrible goalkeeper who I genuinely believe, right? I am better than him, Lloris Karius. I honestly believe that wholeheartedly. I am better than Lloris Karius. I used to play futsal, at college for Nottingham Forest. I saved a penalty against Wolves. I was in team of the month. I genuinely believe I am better in goal than Lloris Karius.
You're entitled to believe what you want to believe, mate.
That game was on him. I don't care. Like, he'll say, oh, concussion. Great, fine. Request to be subbed then if you can't see. Request to be subbed. If you're concussed,
get off the pitch.
And then the second one, obviously, like we say, just one goal, lapse in concentration from one of the players, whatever. 2021, before we even started speaking, I forgot that tie even existed. COVID season didn't exist in my book. All I remember is the Alisson header. Karius is at Newcastle. See, I even forgot he was there. I thought this guy was back in Germany or something. How the heck has he finessed that move? I don't know. But we've got something to prove, mate. And let's move on from this now. I spoke about Real Madrid. We'll do a Real Madrid stream when the game comes. I mean, I think it's in February, cool. Isn't it? It's a long time away.
No problem.
First game back is going to be Man City in the Carabao. We'll finish on this, mate.
Where is it?
What are you expecting? No, it's at their ground. But are you expecting both teams to look weak, or do you think teams will go as strong as they can?
I think they'll look weak.
Or even us, because we've got we can still use Salah, we can still use Thiago. Trent can probably play because he's barely kicked a ball.
Haaland will play for them, but
yeah, Haaland will play 100%.
The back line will be a bit suspect with Joe Gomez and we're not suspect, yeah, but Joe Gomez and Nat Phillips. Yeah, I think it'll be a mixture. I think Salah and them will play though at some point.
I think so. Yeah, 100%. We'll go as strong as we can. Yeah. The guys at the World Cup will obviously get the time off.
And Kelleher will play and go. And I like to see that guy play. So yeah.
Yeah, Kelleher should play the cups 100%. So when is this game? Is it like the 23rd? 22nd. So this game's the 22nd. And the World Cup final, is that the 18th?
Yeah, 17th or 18th.
Cup final date. Yeah, so that's the 18th. So for the guys that have gone to the World Cup, that's looking a bit sticky because that's only like a week.
Because they'll take a week off anyway.
Lois, they'll play Haaland against us and we will have Matip and Gomez.
There you go. I forgot about Matip as well, yeah.
Yeah, so City, I'm sure most of their players went, no? So they'll probably go like...
Edison went, youthful. Walker went, Diaz
Cancelo.
Went, Stones went, Cancelo went,
Ake.
Grealish went, Bernardo went, who else? Foden went, who else?
De Bruyne.
Sterling went, not Sterling, he's not there anymore, is he? Who else? Yeah, that's Alvarez went. Yes, that's
a lot of players. The only thing is that the ones that got eliminated early will probably make it, but the guys that are still there or that are going...
Who got eliminated early? They're still there.
What? Every Walker, single player that they've...
Edison, Walker, Stones, Diaz, Cancelo...
they'll have a Kanji back. Silva, the Kanji's out.
Sterling, Foden.
Yeah, they're Alvarez, all still there. Yeah.
They're still there. That's nine.
Yeah, it's just a Kanji, isn't it, that will be coming home.
Yeah.
But for us, Nunes might be able to play because he'll be... Oh, De Bruyne as well. Yeah, Ali, of course, De Bruyne.
Oh, yeah, De Bruyne's back.
By the way, we need to speak about this guy on another day. Man. Oh, my... Like, when people start bringing in Stevie G into equations, I have high expectations for football players. And this guy...
Nah, but let's not do that. Stevie fraud. G was also awful
fraud. Fraud watch. Listen. I don't... Fraud watch.
He was awful.
Stevie G still scored big goals when he needed to.
Ah, bro, they didn't bring the VVS, so we can't really do that.
Oh, Gundogan as well. Gundogan will be back.
Oh, yeah.
So, they've got three players. Akanji, De Bruyne, Gundogan are all coming back.
That Germany were awful.
Shocking, mate. Shocking. But listen, I'm sure it'll be interesting to see the lineups. I think Pep commented on this like last week. No, not last week. It was a long time ago. Saying that it's probably going to be him and Jurgen Klopp at left back for each side. So that'll be interesting to see if he's saying that our team is going to be weak or youthful or whatever. But it is what it is. Let's see what happens, mate.
That's all mind games.
Obviously, we'll talk about it in the future, closer to time. But guys, we're going to leave it at that for now. There's not really much else to talk about. Let us know if you'd come in. Let us know your prediction for the World Cup, who you think is going to win it. And we'll see you guys when Liverpool are back. Take care and goodbye for now.
Enjoy. Take care, people.